Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you, Lord, that you'll help us to speak your word. Help us to speak your word accurately and clearly. And may we receive the word of God today, Lord, with gladness. And may it be planted in the womb of our spirit that it may bring forth and birth forth revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. So we're serving a generational God. And by that, I just simply mean that God didn't stop after Adam. By the way, if you've never been to the Creation Museum, you need to put it on your calendar and go see it. I wouldn't even mind if we got a group to go and took the church van and just took a group to the Ark one day and the next day took a group to the Creation Museum. You cannot walk through the Ark without realizing there is a God. Amen? Those of you that have been there, you cannot go through the Creation Museum without crying and realizing that God had all this in the very beginning before we were ever born. And so I would encourage you to mark your calendar and go to that Creation Museum. When you think about Noah, we just say Noah built an ark. But you don't realize the blueprints, the tools, the what it took to put that ark together and even make it float like it did. And so I would encourage you to go there. But, you know, the Bible says that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many knows he's also the God of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth? He's also the God of the Hatfields and the Dawses. And the Yardleys, and the Rhodeses, and the Canadays, and the Pachecos. God's a generational God. Amen. And you can put your name in that generation, and put your name in your kids, and your kids' kids' name in that generation. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 32, it says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living. He is the God. Anybody living in here today? He's the God of the living. Amen. So let's talk about that just a little bit this morning. And so in Psalms 127, the scripture says, now I'm using pieces from a sermon that I had ministered before, and I think you may recognize it, and that's quite all right. But I just want to throw this together for today that I believe that God's speaking to us about not forgetting to put God in your children, your children's children, and your children's children, and from generation to generation, okay? Psalms 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Yes, amen. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He gives his beloved sleep. I'm really beloved. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. That arrows helps me to see that we point them in directions. We point them in the ways of the Lord. We teach them in the ways of the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 5 that happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. And they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Now we all know that Jesus is a builder. Jesus is a builder. He came to, in fact, the Bible says that he was placed in the home of a carpenter. And he was raised up by a dad who was a carpenter. And he became a builder. And how many knows there's some here today that are in the building business, and there's some that are in the wrecking business? There are some that are building churches, and there are some that are tearing churches down. There are those that want to build up, and then there's those that want to criticize. Amen. Some think they're in that their ministry is the gift to expose. My gifting is to expose corruptness. You know what Paul said about a man that didn't line up with Paul's exact theology? He said, as long as Jesus is being preached and people are being saved, come on, leave them alone. As long as people are being saved and coming to Jesus, leave them alone. You know what? We all have different doctrines. We all have different beliefs. But you know what? We don't have to have divisions among us just because we have different beliefs, different favors and favoritisms and different thoughts. We can still get along together. Can I hear a good amen? And so we don't exercise the gift of exposure. We don't exercise. And Jesus became a builder, and God is in the building business. And when I say God is a builder, I'm not referring to bricks and mortar and wood and things like that. He's building through this generational seed line. He builds through the seed line. He talks about how many of us talks about the house of David. Talks about the house of Jacob. Talks about the houses that he established. And I wonder what he's saying about the house of Young this morning. What's he saying about the house of Gorley this morning? What's he saying about your house and your family today? He is building through a generational a seed line, and I just want us to just talk about for a few minutes this morning. I know you got your red on today. How many Chiefs fans do we have here today? How many Eagle fans do we have? Two? Two Eagle fans. I know. So I know that you're just chomping at the bit to get out of here so you can go home and get your snacks for this evening. But the game doesn't start till what, 5:30? So chill out. Chill out for a while. Amen. And so God wants to build a legacy through families. And when I think of a legacy, and Luke has brought this up several times, but Darlene's dad left a legacy. He left her an inheritance that is second to none. And how much money did he leave her? Not a lot. I think, what, $1,000? About $1,000 she got after he died. It wasn't a legacy of money, but it was a legacy of faith. He taught her how to stand and trust God. He taught her how to pray. Every morning he'd be up praying at the church. They lived in the parsonage next door, and she could hear her dad praying from her bedroom at the church next door. He left her a legacy of praying, and she started her life praying and praying and praying and praying. Her children would hear her praying on the bus as they were traveling across the nation. And what a prayer. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, "Your wife is one of the greatest prayer warriors I have ever heard." And I want to tell you something, that is a legacy. What are we leaving our children? What do they think about when they think about your walk with God? And I heard John David Skiles say on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and this really stood out to me. He said, "The family is the pipeline through which the gospel is spread from generation to generation." I'm going to say it again. The family is the pipeline. You need your responsibility, and your ministry is your family. Are your kiddos getting the word of God? Are they getting the example that they need to be following? Are they following your example? And it says here, he said, "The family is the pipeline through which the gospel is spread from generation to generation." Isn't that a great statement? Amen. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 up here. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and it's a lengthy passage, but I believe it's worth reading today. Follow closely. "These are the commands, the decrees, and regulations that the Lord, your God, commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land that you're about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live." That word fear does not mean to be afraid of. It doesn't mean to shrink back from. It means to have a healthy respect for. To have a reverence for. Does our children have a health? Have they been raised, and many of our kids are now adults, were they raised to where they would have a healthy respect for God? Or was your example or your testimony or your lifestyle confusing to them, and they were getting mixed signals, one at church and one at home? Somebody shout amen. Amen. Where am I at? Thank you. If you obey, who said that? Thank you. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Church of the Living God, Israel, be careful to obey. Then all will go well. I'm reading it slow because I don't want you to miss this. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land that flows with milk and honey. You will have many children walking in the promises of God. The God of your ancestors promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Did you hear me? Young adults that have children still under your care, repeat the word to your children again and again and again. Notice, talk about them when you're at home. It's all right to talk about the word of God and the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God to your children. Now, some of us got grown children. Some of us, our children are already doing their own thing. And there's not much we can do about that except pray for them. And we do. We pray, God, whatever it takes, bring my children back. Carissa prays for her children. Lord, whatever it takes to bring my son and my daughter back to the Lord. God, I'm willing to accept whatever it takes. We need to pray that these days. Amen. Whatever it takes. And you better be willing to face the consequences of that. Repeat them again and again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. I would say many of us have failed in that area. Talk about them when? Huh? When are we supposed to be speaking the word, sharing the word, testifying to our children about the goodness of God? When we're on the road. When we're at home. Say it again. When you go to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. Listen, people, God is saying the word is the most important thing in their lives. They need to understand it's the word of God that sets them free, that'll save them a lot of grief and sorrow in life. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching the truth this morning. And I remember when Tiffany and Lou were building their new house about, what, 4 or 5 years ago? 5 years ago. Lou would get home from work, and he and Tiffany would go over there, especially when they got the walls up. They'd go over every day when the studs were out there and the floor was unfinished and everything. They would write scriptures on the 2x4 studs. They would write scriptures on the floor. They would write scriptures everywhere they could, even though they knew it was going to be covered up. They were putting the scripture in their house. You say, oh, that's just a bunch of baloney. I want to tell you something. It may not. You know what? Somebody may come in and tear that house someday, or tear it apart someday, and see those scriptures and get saved. At least the scripture is going to be propagated, but that house is covered with the word of the Lord. And I thought that was so cool. I'd never heard of anybody doing that before. But we need to teach the word. Keep the word in our forefront. Keep it in front of our eyes. We don't have to wear goggles, but we do need to keep the word in front of us at all times. It's the word that sets us free. It's the word that brings liberty. It's the word that'll keep your children safe. Three ways God builds today. I'm just going to hit these real quick and then I'm going to let you go. Three ways God builds today. Number one, he builds by revelation. How many knows he built the church by revelation? He builds by revelation. And sometimes I tell you what, I love it when God drops a revelation inside of me. And, I'm not always looking for something brand new. I'm not always looking for something that nobody has seen before. I heard a preacher say the other day, if you've never heard it before, it's probably not true. Or if you've never seen it before, it's probably not true. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Let me just explain that a little bit. Let me explain that. If somebody comes up to you and says, man, I've got a revelation from God, and and I'm the only one that's got this revelation. Nobody's seen this before in the Word. Nobody. Listen, you better make sure that the guy hasn't been sucking on pickle juice and make sure that it's not just some kind of a... Is that you back there? Is it? Hi. Good evening. Good morning. Good to see you. Back up. If it's something that, I mean, I know there's revelations out there, and I love it when God drops a revelation in us. But I want to tell you something. If this guy is the only one that's had that revelation, something's not right. Amen? Beware of everybody that comes up to you and says, oh man, nobody's ever preached this before. Nobody's ever said this. There ain't a sermon that's not been preached before. Amen? Somebody says, oh, Pastor Rhodes, I've heard you preach messages 3 or 4 times. Well, so what? There's nothing new under the sun. Well, I heard so-and-so preach that message on the podcast, and you said almost everything word for word. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay. I don't get my messages all that way, but there is AI that can help you get a message. In fact, Gary and I went to a class the other day on AI, There's people that will let AI write their sermons for them. Isn't that convenient? We don't have to seek God, don't have to pray, don't have to study. Just put in a couple thoughts and let AI write it for you. I might try that sometime, see if you all recognize it. I did send a love letter to my wife with AI. And then Gary sent one to Connie that was AI, and they were pretty steamy. So you better watch what you put in AI, because it knows no bounds. Tiffany said, ooh, gross, Dad. Oh, get back on subject here. He builds, number one, by revelation. When Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, some say that you are Elijah. Some say that you are Jeremiah. Some say that you are John the Baptist. And then one particular guy stood out. He said, oh no, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. And upon this rock, this testimony of me, this revelation of who I am, this confession of faith of who I am, is which was revealed by my Father, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You say, well, then solid rock is blessed. Yeah, but you know what? You're the church also. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, O church of God. Amen. So he builds on the testimony of who Jesus is. And it was birthed out of a revelation. And God is still building today. And thank God the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Number two, he builds by relationships. He builds relationally. Do you know God joins us into relations? And I'm not just talking husband and wife relationships. Do you know, even in a local church like this, there are great relations. There's community. And I was told recently by somebody that was attending a large church, and they said, you know, we just never got connected. It was a big church, but we never really felt like we knew anybody. And there's some people that want to go to that kind of a church so they can just sneak in, sneak out, and, you know, never have any responsibility or you know, accountability. But, you know, we need one another. We're family in this church. We're all family. And we may be closer to some than others. Some are drawn by their, you know, different hobbies together. Some are drawn by their likes, you know, the different things that they enjoy doing. Some are just drawn because of the personality. And some don't mix because of personality. Shame, shame, shame. But God builds by relationships. And God has always had a desire that we have a relationship with one another in the local assembly, in the big church, the overall church, the capital C church. God wants us to have proper relationships. And there are too many people today that are living with what I would call a disposable relationship mentality. disposable relationship mentality, which means I will be your friend as long as I can get something out of you. But when I'm through using you, then I'm going to put you aside and go find somebody else. God forbid. God forbid that we have that disposable mentality. You know what? When I'm done with you, you've helped me get to where I need to go. Then I don't need to connect with you anymore. I don't need to fellowship with you anymore. You've helped me. I've used you as a stepping stone to get to where I need to be, and so I just don't need you any longer. I want you to understand something, people. You know what? Everybody in this church has a gifting and a calling. Everybody has a ministry, and I need every one of you. I told my wife yesterday morning, I said, as we were leaving the prayer service, we had a bunch of people back in the little room back there putting together bags to give away for the Valentines, for the nursery, and for the children, and for the teenagers. And we were just working our little bones back there, filling bags with things, and everybody's just working together so beautiful. And you know what? I told my wife, I said, isn't it so neat to have a church that you don't have to be pushing it all the time? It's just flowing together. Everybody flows together. There's such a unity at Solid Rock. Now, if there is something going on, don't tell me, because I like what I feel at Solid Rock, and I feel like there's great unity at our church. And don't tell me if you're not getting along with somebody. But I need you. Solid Rock needs you. I need your smile. I love it when I look back when I'm preaching and somebody's smiling. I don't know what they're smiling at. You know what they say when babies smile? I love it when I look back and see a nod. It really discourages me when I say something and somebody don't agree with me and they shake their head no like this. That really discourages the preacher. And it's been done before. It has. We've had people come to this church. And I might preach a great message and only one line they don't agree with. And that one line, they sit there and shake their head no. You can disagree with me all you want, but just please don't. I need your smile. I need I like affirmation. Anybody like affirmation? You know, I'm not dependent on affirmation to get me through, but it feels good sometimes when somebody comes up and says, that was a good message. Now, if you do it every service and every time I've done, then after a while, you know, I think you're just doing it. But I like it when somebody once in a while says, Pastor, that really ministered to me. I got something out of that today. It doesn't make me preach any better. It doesn't make me, feel any greater. It just helps you feel good. Amen. So we need one another. In fact, look at somebody besides your family member right now and say, I need you. I need you. We need one another. God gave us this relationships. God planted this church. God planted you at this church. We need one another, and that's the way we grow, and that's the way we're fruitful. And we don't dispose of somebody because they have a different color of hair. Or skin, or no hair. We don't dispose of people because they have more gray than somebody else does. I mean, their beard may go down to their ankles, but we're not going to discriminate. Amen? I don't know how to say it any more plain than what I'm saying this morning. You know what? When I came to Salt, you didn't get the most educated preacher in the world. I promise you. You didn't get the smartest tool in the toolbox when I became pastor. But I do know a little bit. And I do know that we need one another. Amen. We need one another. And we don't need to dispose of somebody just because they're different than us. Hear me out, people. I saw this over and over and over in the Ark and in the Creation Museum, that the people of all races and people of all cultures and all nationalities, that they are born of God. They are. Do you know what? They're all our brothers and sisters. They may not even be born again, but guess what? We all go back to Adam and Eve. Hello? So somewhere in the genealogy, we are related. You're not just my brother. You are my brother. You know, it's not just a... Anyway. Sometimes people look different than us, and we want to dispose of that relationship or not get into a relationship because they look different or act different or maybe talk different. You know, everybody say we need to stop that. You know, last Sunday morning, they started the service off with these old songs that I haven't heard. I haven't heard some of those in a long, long time. And Dylan's the king of old songs. He knows the old songs, and he don't need much pumping to come up and do it. But you know, there's some people that immediately put their walls up because those are old songs. Those are yesterday's songs. Well, I want something fresh and something new. But I want to tell you something. There is an anointing in some of those old songs. And like Dwayne said, and he said it so clever last week, you know what? We were born again to some of those songs. We were raised on those songs. And yes, they touch us emotionally. Because God did something in our lives. And you know, we sometimes our foot gets to tapping a little more on some of those songs. But I want to tell you something about Boomer. Boomer was a rock drummer. Boomer, all he knew when he came to Solid Rock was rock beats. And we'd try to do some country song, and it ended up sounding like Kiss or something. But Boomer didn't shut us out. He didn't say, "I'm not going to play those kind of songs. I'm a rocker, and I'm not a 4/4 country singer player." And anyway. But you know what? Boomer has grown so much. He can play anything. And when we do those songs like they did last Sunday, that was as professional as you can get. I'm telling you what, we got the best. Boomer, I love you. And here's the thing, Boomer. Boomer didn't block us out because he didn't agree with the style. You know what he did? He learned the style. Now, he may still not like it, but he can play it, and he can do a great job at it, and he doesn't just stand there like this when we sing those songs. Amen? You can always tell who don't like the older songs, because immediately their arms fold, then they cock their head over, and they just... Close up here. You don't have to like it, but you can at least don't let everybody know you don't like it. Amen? So yesterday, I was watching Will Cain as he interviewed Shaq O'Neal. Now, regardless of what you think of Shaq, he had some good things to say. And I wrote it down word for word. I went back and wrote it down word for word. And listen to what he says. People have different beliefs, and that's okay. If you have a different belief, I'm not going to fight you over it. You have a right to believe what you want to believe, even if what you believe is wrong. Even if it's not the same thing Solid Rock lines up with, you still believe what you want to believe, but we don't have to fight over it. Amen? You may think it's blue, and I may think it's green, but I'm not going to fight you over it. Because it's an opinion. Hello? Well, we know blue's blue and green's green, but you know what? You take blue and green out to some culture in West Africa, and they're not going to know what you're talking about. Come on now. He said, I'm not going to fight about it. Let's move on. We live in a world where everybody wants to be right, have their own opinions, have their own beliefs, but what we need to focus on is respect. Thank you, Shaq. You're going to meet people that are different from you, but we should respect them. That was a good preaching, Shaq O'Neal. Amen. So he builds the church through the family line. He builds the church through revelation. He builds the church through community and through relationships. But he also builds the church generationally. That's the one I want to spend just a little bit more time on this morning. I want to talk how he builds the church of I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob. God never intended that we just live our lives for ourselves. We need to start looking at our younger people at Solid Rock and begin to pour into them. And after you see this movie, The Forge, you will see what I'm talking about. We need to pour into our young people. They need mentored. They need examples. Mom and Dad, you need to be examples to your teenagers, to your babies. You need to be an example of how you want them to grow up and be like. You need to be feeding them the Word of God. But not only that, we've got kids in the church that may not have Christian parents to teach them and train them in the way they should go. But we do have some young men and some women in our church that could take on a mentorship program and just mentor them once a week with the Word of God. That's called discipleship. And Jesus didn't say go save everybody, but he did say make disciples of everybody. Hello? Okay. Children, the Bible, I read this a while ago, children are a heritage of the Lord and they are the fruit of our reward. So the flow of spiritual progression comes through the parents. You certainly don't want public school teaching your children what's right and wrong. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You certainly don't want some fruitcake, you know, out there training your child in the way he thinks they should go. Amen? Amen. Now, notice it says children are the fruit of our reward. And as I wrote this down last night, I got to thinking, man, I look around at our church and I see Luke. I see Lou, I see Alex, I see Dwayne, I see Carissa, I see Sarah, I see Nick, I see Tyler back there. I look around and I think of all the children that God has given us. See, I'm old enough I can say that now, right? I think of all the children that God has given us. They are the fruit of my reward. Amen. They are the fruit of the reward of the ministry. We're not a rich church. We're not a big church. We're not a well-known church, you know, in the United States of America. But I tell you what we are a church that God is raising up people that are ministers. They can minister, they can preach. Dr. Sue, you are not my son. But you did a great job Wednesday night. Awesome word. You may fall down, but we get back up. Gary and I listened to that on the way home Friday, and what an awesome word that was. And I'm not saying you're not my son because I don't love you. I'm just saying you're too old to be my son. But I'll tell you what, I look around at these young men, and they used to be a whole lot younger when they started. But you know what, I look around at these guys, and I think, thank you, Jesus, for surrounding us with an army of young people. They support us. They hold our hands up. They know when the pastors get weary, they're there to put that rock under, or to set us on a rock and hold our hands up. Thank God for our young ministers that they can preach when I'm gone and preach when I'm here. Thank God. Lou Kramer, I know you can't hear me, but I'm telling you what, that guy is second to none. He's awesome. We've got some great ministers in our church. The Bible says the children are the fruit of our reward. Luke, you're the fruit of my reward. God's given us awesome sons and daughters, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I can't help but brag about Solid Rock a little bit. Is that okay? Okay, I'm going to tell you something about the first generation church, and then I'm going to let you go. Children's church is going to be mad at me today because I let you out early. But they'll have to get over it, won't they? Let me tell you something. The first generation church, man, that church was awesome. It was mighty. It was powerful. They did miracles and signs and wonders. They operated in the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. I'll tell you what, the shadows of the Apostle Peter could just go by. That aura of Peter's presence could cause people to be healed by the Son of the Living God. Just walking by. He didn't even touch them. But the presence of God was so strong in the early church that people would pass by and they would get healed. How many knows that buildings shook? That New Testament early church building, when they prayed, the buildings would shake. Isn't that awesome? Okay, let me just read a couple here. The lame man leaped. The dead women were raised to life. Deacons held citywide crusades. The sick were healed. Demons were cast out. Prison doors flew open. Prophetic voices prophesied. And thousands upon thousands came to Jesus in the first 20 years of the Church of Jesus Christ, birthed in Jerusalem. Now let me tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you why we're here today, then I'm going to let you go. We're here today because that generation of people that was there with Peter, James, John, and Paul passed it on to their children and to that generation and to the next generation. And it came all the way down to 2025. And we're here today because somebody saw the need. I've got to teach it. I've got to train it. I've got to keep it in the front of the face of my children. I've got to keep the word there. I've got to keep my example right. I've got to keep my words right. Some of you parents go around and cuss in front of your children. I'm going to tell you something. You're teaching them that it's all right. And what you're going to say is, don't you do this until you're 21. You don't talk like that in my house. I'm dad. I can talk like that. No, you're setting a horrible example. Amen. Sitting around smoking your marijuana sticks and telling your kids not to do drugs. Come on. How hypocritical can we be? Oh, I think I just got out on a limb. I better back off a little bit. But because the first generation church passed it to their children and to their children and to their children, there are churches all around this big world today that are existing and enjoying services like we have today. Amen. Because somebody kept the pipeline open. Our children are not too old to continue to try to reach. You live the example around your children. You be an example around your adult children. Don't lower yourself to their level thinking that you're going to be a good friend with them. Just teach them the word. And you don't have to preach at them all the time, but just live the life. Don't lower your standards to think that you're going to accept them. Amen? So the Bible says that the world was turned upside down by one generation. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Did y'all hear what I just said? Maybe I didn't say it right. The world was turned upside down in one generation, and it continued to explode and explode for generations and generations till we get all the way down here to 2025. And here we are today celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ because somebody told us about Jesus. And I thank God for my little mama. My little mama might have been a strange Pentecostal. She might have been way out there, you know. She was really traditional, but you know what? She kept putting the word in me night and day. Day and night, and she'd get up and preach. When my mama preached, she didn't need a microphone. They could hear it from here to Doe Run, and she'd just scream it out. But there was something that lit on the inside of me. And when my kids were babies, I raised them up and I taught them and I put the word of God into them. I prayed over them every day. I'd pick them up and carry them. I'd speak the word of God over them. And even as they become younger juniors and teenagers, you just keep speaking the word. You keep being the example. And from generation to generation, the living word lives on. The church today has become powerless due to the negligence of a generation connection. Man, I've got so much more. I think I'm going to stop here. I got lots of time. Oh, my. No, I'm going to stop. I've got too much here. Everybody stand to your feet. I want the worship team to come up here. I'm not going to let you go home. Don't get excited. You're not going home yet. Worship team, come up here. I didn't even make it halfway through, but I want to stop on that note. What a responsibility we have as parents to mentor our children and teach them and raise them in the way they should go. And the Bible says they won't depart from it. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not going to waver a little bit and get away from it. But I'm going to tell you something. It'll always be in their minds and it'll always be in their hearts. And they can try to bury it with alcohol. They can try to bury it with tobacco. They can and drugs. They can try to bury it, you know, with the party scene and through the sexual revolution, all this. They can try to bury all that stuff. But listen. When they lay their head down at nights and it gets quiet, they can still hear mommy and daddy's teaching of the Word of God. They can still hear that Sunday school teacher. They still hear Brenda Davis speaking the Word. They still hear Sister Sneddon speaking the Word into their lives as just little bitty children. They can't get away from that because that's the incorruptible seed. Amen. How many still loves Pastor Rhodes this morning? I may be different, but y'all got to love me, right? Amen. Father, thank you for the Word this morning. And I just thank you, God, that we see our responsibility, God, not only as natural parents, but spiritual parents and spiritual leaders and guides to help the younger generation come to know Jesus. God, it's so amazing how we can talk sports, how we can talk recipes, how we can talk weather. We can talk about so many things, but Lord, the most important thing we can talk about is your Son, Jesus. I'd rather annoy my child by speaking Jesus in the Word than to have their friendship and lead them down the wrong pathway. Father, help every one of us as parents today, as grandparents, to continue to speak into our children's life, whether they're still at home, whether they're grown, middle age, whatever, Lord. And Lord, there may be people here this morning that have no children. Maybe they were never blessed to have any children of their own. May they open their eyes and see all the kiddos that's running around Solid Rock. Maybe they could spiritually adopt one of those children and just show love. The little Silases that are running around here, the Neams that are running around here, need a hug. Just need a hug. Can you take them to McDonald's and buy them an ice cream cone? You know, I've taken Nixon and Nora with me to McDonald's just to buy them lunch. And you know what? You'd think I was a celebrity. You'd think I was somebody special. But you know what? It means a lot to these kids just to do something like that. Put my arm around Neam and I hug him and I say, I love you, son. He says, I'm no good. I said, oh, yes, you are, son. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. I sent him 10 scriptures to read every day about who he is. Do you know what? He'll still come up to me and say, when are we going to go back to McDonald's? When are we going to go eat again? Kids, don't forget that stuff. And if you've got an open door, if you've got somebody that will listen to you, it may be through McDonald's. It may be through Wendy's or something like that, but it may cost you a dollar or two. But that's all right. It means a lot. Uncle Gary says he comes and sometimes will take Max out to see Senors because nobody else will. And he'll say, let's go eat some Mexican food. You know what? Max will never forget that. Max told me the other day, he said, Papa, I want to go back over to Uncle Gary's house to the basement and watch funny movies with him again. You know what? You don't forget those things. That's mentoring, that's loving, that's going out of our way to do something special. And it's easy to do it for our own kids. But I was thrilled when I went to the Creation Museum and was able to buy Silas a couple of gifts because I know he's into dragons. And it just, dinosaurs, excuse me, Lord, dinosaurs. And it's just, you know, to do little things like that, you'll have their ear. You will have their ear. Speak into it. speak into it. Father, help us to speak your word into our children, our children's children, and even the children of our church. You are a generational God. And Lord, I know I messed this message up this morning. I butchered it. Hopefully there's a piece that they can take home with them today, Lord, and apply it to their lives. We need you, Lord. These kids need you. Our young people need you. God, I'm tired of losing them every time they go to university and they get the teaching from non-Christian teachers and they begin to believe and then they no longer trust their church or the teaching of their parents. God, I'm tired of losing our kids. Help us, Lord, to embrace them. Help us to reach out and love them, Lord. Every Sunday they're running around here. Kore banda kashulo kupura basante kati. Nabadoko standalala bakase. I think about Bradley and April. They're not a part of a strong Christian home, but they've got a strong Christian family called Luke and Christy that's raising them and teaching them the Word of God, learning how to pray. I held her last Sunday morning, I believe it was, and she just had her little hands up in the air worshiping God. April, listen, Autumn, God knows who I meant. Autumn, and we just, little things like that means a whole lot. You're not too old to love on our kiddos. You're not too old. Every once in a while I'll pull out a 5 or a 10 and give to one of our kids, and you'd have thought, you see how big their eyes to get, you'd have thought, man, you gave them $100 bill. Just be kind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me to speak your word today. I pray it was planted on good ground. I pray, God, that the ears heard the word of the Lord. And that's all we can do is we leave it there in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.